Today should be Sechtoni the Daf Ches, Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Samad Beis, five lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. As we began learning in the Mishnah at the end of yesterday's Daf, the Mishnah taught us that a Muberes, once a woman is pregnant, Mishiyoda Ubura, Mishiyivadi Ubra, from where you clearly know that she's pregnant, which we said is when she's 3 months pregnant, the halacha is that the din is da'ishata. If she has an emission, we only look forward, not backwards. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Reisha Hoyse Becheskos Muberes. There was a woman who we assumed is Muberes, Vuras Adam, and then while she's Muberes, she has an emission of blood. V'achach Yipilu Ruach, I call Dovah She'enish HaKayama. And then it turns out that she doesn't have a viable child. It's only a sack full of air, or a child that isn't alive. Rachman al-Slan, Harehu b'cheskosa. She still is considered muberes v'dayoshata. And the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah of dayoshata on a muberes remains. And says the Gemara, says the Braisa, v'abishay ra'ilodava. Even though there's no pasuk that teaches this halacha explicitly, there's an allusion to this. There's a zecher in the pasuk shirein shenema. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, hareinu chalnu, we were ill, k'mo yilad neruach, we were ill because we were pregnant, and all we had is just the pregnancy didn't turn out to have a viable child, which the pasuk shot in the pasuk is the Klal Yisrael is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we went through the pain of Golus, but we don't have much to show for that pain. But here we clearly see that you're considered muberes, harei chalanu, we're considered ill with pregnancy, even though all they had was yilad neruach. So it's clear that you're considered muberes even when you just yilad neruach. Ask the Gemara, but my zeichladover, why is this pasuk only considered a zeichladover? Isn't it very clear? The pasuk is clearly indicating that even though they were yolad neruach, they're still considered chalanu, they're still considered muberes. Answers the Gemara, kiksiv haikra, that pasuk is talking b'scharm ksiv. So as the Ritva explains, what's the difference if it's men or women? So the Ritva explains, because that entire pasuk, as we explained a moment ago, is just a mashal to Klal Yisrael's experience to Golus. And it isn't to be taken necessarily literally what it represents halachically as far as Umuberes. That's why, even though the halacha remains, as we began the shir, that she's considered Umuberes, it's only a zeicha, not a raya. Vermini asked the Gemara on this halacha. We discussed the other day two halachas that we've been discussing. One is that we know a woman's life is a cycle of 7 days and 11 days. 7 days of nida, 11 days of ziva. And we learned the other day if a woman went into labor during the ziva days, and for 3 days she had emission of dam, but that turned out to be false labor, so she becomes a zofa, even though it was seemingly labor pains. Kishas Hashnayim, the Brisa says, if for 2 days she had difficult labor, Ulishlishi, on the third day, Hipila Ruach, or Kol Dovish Enesh HaKayama, she didn't end up having a real pregnancy, a real child wasn't born. So even though the halacha is that if somebody has labor pains and sees them during the Yimei Ziva, and that ultimately Baruch Hashem has a child, that isn't considered Yoledes B'Ziva. We say that the pain and the dam are all attributed to the childbearing, to the labor, and not to the Ziva. Here, because she didn't have a viable child, it's not considered that she had a child, and it's considered Yoledes B'Ziva, and she has all the halachas of Azov. She has to have Zayin Nekiyim, and she has to bring a carbon. Harezu Yoledes B'Zov. Ask the Gemara, if we began today's shir saying that even if somebody who was pregnant ended up having a ruach or something that's not Shaul Kayama. The Amrit, if we're going to say Leida Ma'al Yasehi, that it's considered Lahalocha, a Leida, so ask the Gemara, as we just explained, Kushi Samuch Laleida Rachmana Tare. As we just learned, the Torah teaches us that even if the dam was emitted during the Meziva, but if it ultimately led to a childbirth, it's not called Yeledes Bezov, and all the Hilchos Ziva don't apply. So if we're saying having a Ruach, or having a child that's not Kayama, is still considered a Leida, so why over here is it not considered Yeledes Bezeva? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Hanech Me'es Leis Terabonim. The entire rule that if somebody has a discharge, if a woman has a discharge, as we learned in the first Mishnah of HaMasechta, she's retroactively tamei for 24 hours, is only a din derabanan, and therefore more lenient. And I saw two pshatim and rishonim how to understand what rapapi means. One pshat is, like we just said, this entire tumah is only a tumah derabanan. As we learned, it may even only be a knas. And in this, under the circumstances that we're discussing, that she's muberes, Chazal did not institute this rule. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw the rishonim suggest is because we're going to have a very interesting situation. We're going to have this woman who's muberes, who has a riya, and she'll go to Rav, and Rav will say, you're muberes, and therefore we're not going to make your tamei retroactive. Then it turns out that Rachman Tzlon, she ends up having a ruach of zerish of vlad she'enish l'kayama, and the Rav will have to reverse himself. Chazal did not want that the Rav should have to reverse himself. And as the Mefarshim explained, of course if somebody gives an incorrect psak, you gave a wrong psak, you have to change your mind. You have to be honest. But here, since the entire rule is only a takana derabbanan, so Chazal said, leave it and don't make a tummy retroactively. Rapapa gives a different explanation. Midu Hutama, what's the entire reason why we said that a muberes is treated differently, and we'll speak about this soon more. A woman that's pregnant, her body is weaker, and therefore the regular situation of dam does not apply to that woman. Hachinami, this woman as well, even though she ultimately miscarries, still, she's still going through pregnancy, and whenever somebody's going through the pregnancy in this weakened state, the halacha is that we are lenient and don't make a tummy retroactive. So the Rishon say, what is the nafkamina between Rapapi and Rapapa? So certainly according to the explanation that we gave, the second explanation we gave in Rapapi, where we said that according to Rapapi, we don't want the Rav to have to reverse himself. But let's say the Rav didn't give a psak yet, then maybe she will be tummy retroactive. But if we say the Vart is like Rapapa, a Rosh Kveda Leho, so then even if he didn't give a psak, she wouldn't be tamei retroactive. That's one explanation. Another explanation I saw, Rabbi Kiveg explains, he says, we've learned earlier in our perek that Chazal were stricter by ksamim than they were by Riya. So what would be if this woman has a kesem? If we say that Chazal were lenient by a woman that's pregnant, no matter what, so they're lenient no matter what. If we say, however, the Vart is because Rosh HaVera Kaveidim Aleha is only helpful, is only a concept regarding a Riyah, not regarding Kesem. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, but in Rav Yimim Rav Zeira, Rasa, if a woman had a Riyah, Vachka Chuka Ubra, and then we recognize that she's pregnant, Mahu, what is the Halacha? Do we say, even the b'inah d'chazoi, when she had this discharge, loy huka ubra, she wasn't in the category of a pregnant woman, and therefore metamia, she's tamei retroactively for 24 hours. Oy dilma, even the samach lo chazoi, she openly does see, she definitely is obviously pregnant, loy metamia. So all the rishonim asked the obvious question: whenever we speak about a shear in halacha, there are rules. The best example, a mikveh, a kosher mikveh has to have 40 sa of water. If it's missing as the Mishnayos and Masechta Mikvos keep on saying, if it's missing even a kartov, even if it's missing a drop, it's not a kosher mikvah. There's a very clear rule, a very clear shear. So what's this Gemara asking? If it's in a category that the halacha recognizes her as muberis, she's muberis. And if it's not yet muberis, she's not yet muberis. How do we understand this Gemara? So the Rishonim say a number of pshatim. One pshat is that what happened here was that she had the discharge in the morning, and then in the afternoon she hit the hookah ubra. So since it's all in the same day, maybe it should be considered already in the morning that she's in the category of muberis and is not tamei retroactively. One pshat I saw. Another pshat, as we just saw and we will see again. You know, when we speak about a mikvah, so 40 saw is a very clear shear. 40 saw, nothing less, not even a drop less. When we speak about muberis, it's not really dependent on a very specific time. It depends, as we learned and will learn, because a muberis, Risha, Kavadala, Vireo, Misparkin, she's in a weakened state. That doesn't happen in 1 second. It's a cumulative situation. So it could be, even a little before, she's already in that category that she could be considered muberis, even if it isn't yet, quite yet, mamish 3 months. Another pshat is, the Gemara is referring to such a situation, that right now, it's already past the 3 month time. But if we look at the 24 hours back, the 24 hours back were before the 3 months. That means, let's say a 3 month was this morning, and she saw them this afternoon. So at this point, she's already muberis. But if we look back 24 hours, yesterday at that point, she wasn't yet 3 months. So how do we look at her? Do we look at the time when the dam comes out? And right now when the dam came out, she was past the 3 month period? Or do we look at the 24 hours, and that's before the 3 month cutoff? So again, Rosavach kachukra ubra, mau, kiven de inna de chazoi, at the time she had the discharge, loy hooker ubra, she isn't obviously yet muberis, and therefore she's tamei. Aydama kimen the samach lechazoi, it's so close to the cutoff point. Loy matamia, she will not be tamei retroactively. Amalei, to which he responded, midi hutama. What's the reason that we learned at the end of yesterday's shir this 3 month cutoff? That she comes to a certain point in a pregnancy that she's weak. In this case, it's before the 3 month period, so she isn't in that physical state, and therefore she will have to be tamei retroactive. Continues the Gemara. A woman is pregnant, and during her pregnancy, during the time that she's pregnant, the haveset came. And we know that a woman, we will discuss, spend a lot of time in this masechta actually speaking about this halacha, a woman by haveset has special rules. She's not allowed to have relations with her husband, and she has to check herself, examine herself, if she had a discharge. So Igiya Yisvesta B'meibur, while she's pregnant, the haveset came, v'loy batka. And should she did not do the bedika, ma, what will be the halacha? So there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this gemara. Some rishonim explain this gemara to mean that certainly lechatchila she's supposed to do a bedika. The gemara's question is, b'di'evit, if she didn't do the bedika, what is the halacha? Others explain that the question of the gemara is even on lechatchila, b'di'evit, she would probably be fine. So again, says the Gemara, there's a machloikus, which will come up very often in our shiurim, daf tezvav, daf tezayin. The issue of vestis is a machloikus of vestis the rice or vestis the rabbanan. That if a woman has to watch herself by a vestis, it is a shail if it's the rice or the rabbanan. Interesting, Rashi says that according to the Man D'Omer, it's the rice, it's a halachal Moshe Sinai. And the Farshim asks a question, the Man D'Omer that holds the vestis, the rice, it's a pasuk, because the pasuk says, v'yizartim es b'nei Yisrael, that they have to separate from their wives by veset. So how does Rashi call Halacha Moshe Sinai when it's a pasuk? So the Mefarshim answer: the pasuk of Vezartem Bnei Yisrael only speaks to the iser of a man having relations with his wife by Haveset. Rashi in this Gemara are not referring to that element. We're referring here to the issue of Bedika. That is based on Halacha Moshe Sinai. So if you hold Veses Daraisa, the Halacha is normally that if a woman, when a Veset came, again this is talking about a Veset Kavua, came and she didn't do a Bedika, even if she later on does a Bedika and turns out to be Tahar, we consider it Tameh. Because we're so sure that the Dam came, just got lost, but she is Tameh. Only if she did a Bedika during her Veset will we be lenient. If you hold Veset to Rabbanon, then even if she did the Bedika later and she's fine, we consider her fine. So the Gemara explains itself. Aliyah demandama vestas deraisa. Said the Gemara, the question is being posed according to the mandama that holds vestas is deraisa. Mai, what is the halacha? Do we say, kivin the vestas deraisa, since vestas are deraisa, so it's such a strong halacha, or such a strong halacha l'mashim Sinai, as we just said, even though she's muberes, the halacha is boy bedika, she still has to have this bedika. Aydilma, or we could argue, as we've been saying, a woman who's pregnant, the man musalakin, she's considered that she won't have any discharge. And therefore, even if we say Vestas Teresa, this woman, the Muberes, Loi Boy Bedika, will not have to have a Bedika. Amale, to which she responded, Tinisua. We could answer it based on the following Mishnah. Ramei teaches us, if a woman was in hiding, she was in fear, she was running away and she was in hiding, v'giya v'shas festa, and now her time for a veset came, v'loy batka, and she didn't do a bedika, tahira, she's still tahar. Why? Because charada mesalekes es adamin, the fear that she's in causes that she shouldn't have done. Makes the Gemara's point. Tama, what do we see from here? Because the only reason we're being lenient with her is because, as the Mishnah says, Dika Harada, she's in this fear. Halaka Harada, were she not in this state, Vigia Vesta Vloy Batka, and her Vesta came and she didn't do Bedika, then she would be Tameya. We would consider her Tamei. So obviously, what does this man, the Omer, hold? He obviously holds Vestas Daraisa. Because if you hold Vestas Drabonon, then even if you didn't do the Bedika for any reason, you're not Tamei. And what does the Braisa say? That since there's a Charada, Tamei Mesalekin, we consider her as a Mesalekis Tamim. And if she didn't do the Bedika, it's fine. As we said, either maybe L'chatchil or B'di'evit. Hachinami, here too, whenever, because she's Muberis, we say she's Tamei Mesalekin, so like by Bedika, and Bedika is not required. So it's very interesting. Our Gemara is comparing a woman who's Muberes to a woman who's in hiding. And by both of them, the halacha is that they consider Mesalekis Tamim and they don't need a Bedika. But it's very interesting. If you look in the Torah says a woman who's in hiding requires a Bedika, L'chatchila, and a Muberes doesn't require a Bedika. Our Gemara connected them, that they travel together. And all the Rishayim ask, how does the Torah separate and treat them differently? So one teretz that the Mefarshim give is that our Gemara, as we just finished learning, is going according to the opinion, the Vestas Daraisa. So Vestas Daraisa, they have the same halacha. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah actually paskins the Vestas Darabonon. And Vestas Darabonon, therefore, Charada is not treated the same way as Muberes. But let's explain this a little better, because this is an important halacha. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the case of a woman who's in fear, so the Shulchan Aruch is very lenient. The Shulchan Aruch says, if she's b'charada, if she's in fear, she's considered Mesalekis Tamim. The Ramah is machmer. And the Ramah says that even a woman who's in a state of fear, if she should do bedika. We can't be megal. But what is pshat in the Ramah? So if we look at the Nisa Kalim, the Shach and the Taz, on the Ramah, they explain as follows. Charada, and this is why Charada and Muberes are very different. What does charada mean? That while a person is in a state of fear, while a person is in a state of fear, it causes the dam not to come. But a woman who's about to have relations with her husband, fear is an emotional state. And emotions could change from one moment to the next. So yes, at this moment she's b'charada, but the next moment, especially if she's about to have relations with her husband, the charada eases up, and then she's considered not musalek estamim. A muberis doesn't change. If she's pregnant, she's pregnant. So now we can very well understand the difference between charada and musalek estamim. Charada is an emotional state that changes, that with the person's emotional state. Muberis is constant, and therefore muberis, we could say, doesn't require bedika, and charada does require bedika. Interesting to note, there's a tshuva from the Meches Yitzchak about women who take a pill that causes them to manipulate their period. It comes up very often with callus. If they take such a pill, can they rely on it, even if it's the time of the veset, to have relations with the husband? The Meches Yitzchak considers, interestingly enough, a woman taking a pill similar to a woman in a state of charada. And therefore he suggests that just like our Gemara is saying that a person charada, just like we said that the Ramah says that a woman in a state of charada, we can't consider her completely musalek estamim, the Ramah says we have to do bedika, so too maybe a woman taking a pill. Many Paiskim, including Rav Ozden, the Shevet HaLevi, are much more lenient. They say, if anything, a woman on a pill is like a woman muberis. And the woman who's muberis, we said, is a physical state. So too is the effect of this medicine. However, the Paiskim say, we have to determine that the medicine works on this woman. Just because the pill makes many women lose their period or manipulate the period, it doesn't mean it's going to work on this woman. So if you want to rely on it, you have to have a track record on this specific woman that she's not sub, that it will not, that causes her period not to come. And furthermore, he says that as soon as she stops taking the pill, even though it's not her veset, but now the pill, since she's stopped taking it, her period will come. She can't have relations with her husband only under if she does a proper bedika and has no hargosha. The Mefarshim explain, the Gemara here says, charada misalekes es adamim. They explain, the Torah tells us that by Har Sinai there were koilus of rokin, tremendous thunder and lightning by Kabbalah Satira. And the Farshim ask, why? If Klai Yisrael did not want to accept the Torah, so we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give it under such a dramatic situation. But we said Nasa V'Nishma. Why did you need the Kailos of Rokim? So the Farshim explained, by Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take away our Yetzahara. Charada, by putting them in a state of fear, Mesalekes Sadamim, it caused them to, dam is always considered the Yetzirah, the blood, boiling blood, take away that Yetzirah to bring them to a state of Yerushalayim. I saw a very nice pshat from the Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Rebbe, charada misalek estamim. As we just explained, charada is Yerushalayim, fear. Somebody who lives with charada, somebody who lives with Yerushalayim, misalek estamim. He doesn't have to worry. Dama means money. He doesn't have to worry about money. If you have Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. We learned further in the Mishnah, Menika Achtigmal. A woman who's nursing until she weans her baby is considered misalek estamim, and therefore if she has a discharge, Taloch is Dayishata. Tana Rabbanan begins the Gemara with a Braisa, which is actually an expansion of the Machloikis that we learned in the Mishnah. It says the Braisa, Menicha Shemais Benoif, Betoich Esen Ve'ar B'Chodesh. If a Menicha's child died within 24 months, Harei Kukol HaNoshim, she's considered like all women, that the Halacha, as we learned in the first Mishnah of HaMasechta, is, U'metam Me'es La'es, U'mekidah L'mekidah. According to Hillel, she's either Tamei to the last. According to the Chamim, she's either tamei to the last bedika or 24 hours, whichever is shorter. Lefikach, continues the Braisa, and Maisa mini kosav alechas arba chameshanim, if a woman is nursing a child for 4 or 5 years, as the Rishonim explain, a healthy child should not be nursed past 4 years, a weak child could be nursed up to 5 years. So as long as she's nursing, dayashata, the halacha of dayashata applies, divrei remeya. Continues the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, dayin shatan, kol esrim v'chodesh. It's 24 months. And actually, the Mefarshim, this is a question of Shulchan Aruch, when we say that a menika is dayashata, is it 24 months or 2 years? Most Paiskim say, because you could have a leap year, so it'll be more than 24 months. Most Paiskim say it's 24 months, and they explain it based on this Gemara. Lefikach, and therefore concludes the Gemara. And Maisa Benikasa Abav Chamishanim, she's nursing a child 4 or 5 years. Once 24 months pass, Mitama Me'es Le'es, or Pekidal Pekida. The halacha of retroactive kicks in. Explains the Gemara. What is the basis of the machlokes? Kishtimtz l'divrei Remeya, according to Remeya, dam neker v'nasa chalav. What happens is, according to Remeya, is that a woman's blood turns into milk while she's nursing. And therefore, as long as she's nursing, she doesn't have blood. And therefore, it makes no difference how long it goes, she's mesulekes dam. L'divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the reason a menekes, the reason a nursing woman is mesulekes damim, is because of Avirah Misparkin, v'nefsha chazeres ara aperachayitish. It takes 24 months to get back to your strength. But once you come to 24 months, and again this is right, it's 24 months specifically, you're back to your strength, even if you're still nursing. So the Tzim Sofer, the Rishonim really discussed it, the Tzim Sofer explains it, asks, how can we have a machloikis if dam neker v'nasa chalav, if that's what happens, it's a physical fact. If dam neker v'nasa chalav or not, so how's the Gemara quoting a machlokes Remeya and the Chachamim? So he explains that everybody agrees that a woman who's nursing doesn't have dam. The machlokes between Remeya and Rabbanan is as follows: by according to Remeya, the actual dam becomes chalav. According to the Rabbanon, it's not that the woman produces blood and then that blood becomes chalav, but rather what happens is that the woman, the fluids in the woman's body, instead of producing dam, produce chalav. Whatever causes dam to be created by a nursing woman, that will be chalav. That's why it's not a machloike. So everybody agrees it emanates from the dam. The question is how? It's very interesting. There's a minhag, we all know, on Shavuos to eat dairy foods. And many Mefarshim say it's based on this Gemara of Dam Neker V'Nasa Chalav. What does that mean? So it's so beautiful pshat. We know that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Why from everything is Eretz Yisrael specifically praised with the milk and honey? So the Mefarshim explain, because we're learning milk and vash have both have a very interesting characteristic. The chalav starts, and we'll speak about this more soon, starts as dam and turns into chalav. The vash, the halacha is that honey, first of all, it starts in a bee, which is a sheretz, and moreover, the halacha is that any impurities in the honey may be eaten also. So what do we see? That honey and milk have this quality that even something that's not good could become good. Eretz Yisrael has the ability to make everything in it better. What other thing has that quality? Torah. Somebody who learns Torah becomes a better person. And that's why Shavuos, when we accepted the Torah, we become like Cholov, that Cholov and Vash, that changes us from something not good to something good. That's why we eat chalav on Shavuos. In fact, there's some that are meant to eat vash as well. There's a Magen Avraham that discusses musk. We've spoken about musk in our shiurim. Musk is a secretion of the glands of an animal that originally was blood, and by going through the glands, it turns into musk, which is a perfume. The question is, are you allowed to, is musk kosher? It comes from a non-kosher animal. The animal wasn't even slaughtered. So, it's dam, and dam is also. The answer is, that say many paiskim, that just like dam neck of a nasacholov, the milk that we drink from a human or from a cow starts as dam and ultimately becomes cholov as mutter, so to the musk, even though it started as dam, since it went through this chemical change, it becomes mutter. Ask the Gemara. When the Braisa quoted the opinion of Rameya, who obviously holds, as we just learned, dam neck of nasacholov, Bryce says, therefore, even if she's nursing for many years, she is considered mesekelakistamin. Says the Gemara, fikat Rameya. Ask the Gemara, fikat Rameya, lamali. Why did Bryce have to say it? It's obvious. Answers the Gemara, mishlon fikat Rabbi Yossi. You're right. There's no chiddush in what we said according to Rameya. The chiddush is in what we said according to Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara, ulafikach the Rabbi Yossi lamali. What's the chiddush in Rabbi Yossi? Answers the Gemara, maratema. Rabbi Yossi Tatiasli. Rabbi Yossi requires two concepts. Number one, it shouldn't be past 24 months. And number two, she should still be nursing. Kamash Malan, that no. That according to Rabbi Yossi, even if she's not nursing at 24 months, till 24 months, she's fine. Mefarshim explained there was never a havamin according to Rameya differently. Because Rameya says it's dam neck of anasa cholov. That's the only thing that counts, nothing else. Says Ramosha, that even though our Gemara is saying that even according to the Chachamim, you have 24 months. He says we, however, see nowadays that women, when they stop nursing, do get their period back, and we can't say that a woman up to 24 months bezman hazeh is mesekelakistamin. In fact, the Pesach can also say sometimes women who are nursing even get their period. Tain namihochi dam nek of nasachola of divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Says the Gemara, Omer Abloya, my Tam Rameya, where does Rameya take his cancer from? There's a pasuk in Iyah. Miyitein Torah mitamei loy echad. Mefarshim explained the pasuk there, Iyah of a saint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you expect from us perfection? We are Tamei. You are able to turn Torah into Tamei. So, Rameya explains, Meeting tar mitame means that milk dam, which is tame, becomes tar as milk. Rabbanan Amr Rabbi Yochanan, they explain the pasuk to be shichva zera, which the child begins with shichva zera shu tame, and then the person created from him adam anoytzim menu tar. So the Mashal explains that the pasuk is coming to teach us that they believed there were two gods. There was a god for tumah and there was a god for tahara. Teaches us these psukim that it's all one God, because the tumah turns into tahara. The Ben Yoyada has a tremendous lesson from this psukim. He says what the pasuk is teaching us is look at a person as he is created. He's created from shechva zera. He lives on chalav, which starts as dam. What is our job in life? Our job in this world is to take tumah, to take we who are shechva zera, and turn it into tahara. To take the dam and make it cholov. That is our job in this world. Rabbi Lazar Amar. Rabbi Lazar says the pasuk speaking about something else altogether. Elamehan nida. The pasuk speaking about the paraduma mixture with the water. That the halach is shamaza umazanalov. The person who sprinkles the paraduma and the person on whom it is sprinkled atahar v'negeya tamei. But if somebody touches it, he's tamei. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That the maza is tahor? That the person sprinkling the paraduma mixture is tahor? For ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, O maza mehanida yechabes begodov? Isn't the pasuk clearly indicating that he is tamei? Not only is he tamei, but even his clothing. My maza, nageya. So Rosh Hashanah asked, why don't the pasuk, the pshat in the pasuk, is maza means the person that's sprinkling. Now we're going to spend time trying to give all different explanations. Why don't we explain the pasuk as it is? So I saw two turrets from the Rishonim. One turret says, because if the Torah meant the person who's actually sprinkling the mechatas, the Torah should have said, ha-maza. The fact that Torah says Mazah doesn't mean that individual. Another pshat is a Sfara. It doesn't make sense that this person who's doing the mitzvah or sprinkling the Parah Adumah, what should be his compensation? That it becomes Tamei. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that Pasuk is talking about the Negeya? V'ksiv Mazah, v'ksiv Negeya. There's another Pasuk that speaks about the person who touches the Mechatis. Furthermore, if we look at the Pesukim, because you may think that the Pasuk is repeating itself and saying the same din twice, we can't say that. Because if you look at the Pasuk, Mazah, the Mazah, not only is he Tameh, but Bayi Kibus, even the clothing that he wears or touches become Tameh. Negeya, Loi Bayi Kibus. So how do we understand the Pasuk of Mazah? Answered the Gemara, my Mazah, what is the definition of Mazah? Noisei, person that carries the Mechatas. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Pasuk means, the Licht of Nisus. So that's what the Torah should have spoken about, the person that carries it. Answers the Gemara, the reason the Torah called the Nisay with the word Mazah, K'mashmalon, the Adador Kishir Hazah. How much Mechatas must he carry to be Tamei? Enough water that is adequate for the Mechatas. And again, the Rishonim say that when we say here that the Nisay of Mechatas is Tamei, it's only if he's carrying, it's only if he's carrying it for no reason. But if he's carrying it as part of the procedure of Mechatas, then he wouldn't be Tamei, because again, it's all part of the mitzvah. But as the Gemara, we learned the Machlokes many times, Hanich l'mandam hazot tzrich hashir. So we say, the Torah is teaching us that the Noisei is not Tamei unless he carried enough water. However, as the Gemara, El l'mandam ein tzrich hashir, that there is no specific shear, how much he has to carry. Michael Maimer, how will we understand this? Answers the Gemara. I feel a mandam ain't tzrich shir. Even according to the mandam that says that there is no shir, how much he has to carry, hanimili agaba the gavra. That's how much has to be actually sprinkled on the person that's tummy. Ab mona, in the actual keli that's carrying the mechatas, everybody agrees that you have to have a shir. Kritanan, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Tepora, kama yehei b'mayim, how much mechantis must you have for yehei ben kezor, that's considered that you have kidei azor, the mount, kidei shiit bal rosh gvulim, we know we put the grass into the water, enough that you put the grass into the water, and then have enough to sprinkle on the person who's v'yazor, and make him, and sprinkle on the person that's tummy. And says the Gemara, behind it on the Shlomo, this is what Shlomo Melech says in Kehelas, Amarti Echkema, I thought I was smart, I thought I understand, V'yiruchaykim, and I don't understand Pshan and the Paraduma. Before I should explain, what did Shlomo Melech mean to say? Why doesn't we understand Pshan and the Paraduma? We all remember, Rashi and Chumash says, Tova, that what's Pshan and Paraduma? He quotes Ramosha Adarshan. Ramosha Adarshan says, Tova ima v'tekanaches banal. The par represents the cleansing of the chayta egel. So why is it so hard to understand? So one pshat that I saw two pshat to answer that question. One pshat that I saw, and that what Shlomo Melech was saying is, I don't understand how people came to make the mistake of the egel. Yes, the par aduma comes to me mechapen the chayta egel, but how did he come to make that error? That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw. Is that the Torah means to say here, the Torah means to say, if that was the reason for Parah Adumah, so we should have gotten the mitzvah Parah Adumah only after the Chet HaEgel. But we find that they were told Parah Adumah already in Mara, that was before the Chet HaEgel. Another pshat, Amarta Echma V'Roi Chayker Imeni, Shlomo Melech, the Pasuk says regarding a king, Layer B'Lay Nishim, V'Layer B'Lay Susim, he's not have too many wives, he's not allowed to have too many horses. And Shlomo said, Ani Erba, I'll have many wives, V'Lay Yos, I have nothing to worry about. And what happened? He to Levava, the Pasuk says, that they did cause them to stray. So Shlomo Melech said, I learned from here that the rest thing is not to try to understand. We have to follow the rules without understanding. Another pshat is, Amati Echma, V'Yirichoy Kibimeni, when is a person able to understand? When he realizes that he can't really fathom the depths of the Torah. When he lives with that kind of modesty, that he's rechayka, he understands that he doesn't understand, then achkema, then he's really smart. We learned in the Mishnah that a zakena, a woman who's old, doesn't have osos mesekla demim. What did the Mishnah say? Kosher Avaloi Shalosh Oina Samach Zukanasai. 3 periods went by and she didn't see that. And she's already old. Ask him, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda, call Shechaber Sel Oima Lo Zukenihi. She's so old that her friends call her old. The Shimon Oimer, call Shekaron Lo Ima Ima. If she's called Ima Ima, many will share him say you have to call both names. And she's not embarrassed because she's that old. Rav Zeir of Shmuel, but Yitzchak Chad Omer Kol Shein Mekbetes. She doesn't care when she's called Ima Ima, but Chad Omer Kol Shein Boisha. She's not embarrassed. Asking her, my benayu, what is the nachgemina? Ik benayu Boisha Ena Mekbetes. That she is embarrassed, but she's not makbid. According to the mandam, that depends on akpada, so she's not makbid. According to the Mandam, it's Baisha, she's still embarrassed. As the Mepharshim explained, Baisha comes at a much later time than Makbedis. Makbedis, if you're old, you're old. Baisha comes at a later time. Continues the Gemara. The Mepharshim say, however, so this is very subjective. Some women are more sensitive. Some women are less sensitive. So how do we give one shear? So the Chasam Sofer already says, and he says Pshat in the Gemara this way, that of course we don't look at every woman individually. We look at women at what age are they makbid, and at what age are they no longer makbid, and what age are they no longer baisha. And even if you'll have a woman who's an exception to the rule in either direction, it won't make a difference. And that's why he explains the Gemara is very understandable. Because now the Gemara asks, Kama Oina. So he asks, if we look at the wording of the Mishnah, the Gemara just quoted it, first the Mishnah said oinus, and then samach l'zeknasa. So shouldn't the Gemara first explain kama oina, and then explain samach l'zeknasa, follow the order of the Mishnah? We find out Gemara is going the opposite order. Why? Because the Gemara wants to show that everything has one standard for all women. So we just finished explaining that Samach L'Zeknasai is one rule for all women. We don't look at every woman individually. How do we know that? Because Oina also is one amount of time, all women with that amount of time. How much time is that? The Kama Oina, Amar Shlokim Shem Yehuda Nasiya, Oina Beninis, Shloi Shem Yoyim. It's 30 days. Which most Mepharshim explain, we're going to have in the Masechta many times, the halacha of Oina Beninis, that Oina Beninis is 30 days. Others say that Oina Beninis is not 30 days, it's the 31st day, famous Chavastas. And that's why many people, when we're machmer, when we keep an Oina Beninis, keep day 30 and day 31. Others say the Oina Beninis is the day of the month. The Oina Beninis is that day of the next month. Rav Amar Rav Chizda Esrim Yoyim, that it's 20 days. Says the Marvelai Pligi, there's really no machlokes. Ma'aka Choshev Yimei Tumah Yimei Tahara. So in a month, there's 30 days of Tumah days and Tahara days. Or Ma'alai Choshev Yimei Tumah, he doesn't count the Tumah days, so we have to take off 10 days for every month. 7 days of Nida and 3 days of Ziva. Although Taisha says that the 3 days of Ziva shouldn't be counted because a woman is usually not a Ziva, and that's why Taisha says there's a Girsa that's not 20 days, but really 23 days to take in consideration the 7 days of Nida. Very interesting Mizgeres HaShulchan. All the poskim can quote this Mizgeres HaShulchan. That here we're speaking about a woman who's a Zekena. She's Mishalekes Damim. So they say that most women nowadays don't have menopause at one point. That till now they have a period and then they stop. But most women, it goes away gradually. Let's say they used to have a period every month. It comes only every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, until ultimately she has menopause. So the Paiskim say, since that's the way it is, the Mizgeres HaShulchan, all the Paiskim quote him, since that's the way with women nowadays, so a woman that's experiencing that phase in her life can never have relations with her husband without a bedika. Because she doesn't have any vessel that she can rely on. Because she's in the state of flux, and until she completely experiences menopause and she stops seeing them all together, she should have a bedika every time she has relations with her husband. Tanabon, says the Braisa. So Kenish Avril Shlosh Oinus. If 3 Oinus, we just said 3 Oinus pass with Rasa, and then she sees Daishata. Still the Aloch is Daishata. Void Avril Shlosh Oinus Rasa. If again that happens, Daishata. Void Avril Shlosh Einus Rasa. So now she developed a new cycle. Then instead of seeing every 30 days or so, she sees every 90 days. Hareka Kala Nashim. So she has the din like all women that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Umetama, the retroactive tumah, or me'es leis, or me'kida kicks in. Says the Gemara, v'loi shekivna, not only if there were the exact same amount of days, every time 90 days between re'ias, does this halacha apply? Ela filo pichsa v'sira, let's say it was 92, 91, 90, or it was 90, 91, 92. Ela filo pichsa v'sira, the halacha is that she's not considered Musarek Estam. Ask the Gemara, what's the Brisa saying? I feel a pichsa, that even if it's not exact, then she's considered not Musalek Estamim, and she's Tamei retroactively, V'lemme Bay Kivna, and certainly if she has perfect 90 days every time, ask the Gemara, that shouldn't be. Adarabba, Ki Kivna, if every time there's an exact number in between every Ria of 90 days, so then she's a woman that has a vest, kavloi vest. And we learned already in the first Mishnah of our Masechta that a woman who has a vested kavua daishata. Says the Gemara, v'chi teima, as we learned in Daftal Ramabeis, that this price is following the opinion of Rabbonin, the pigalei Rab Doisa, disagree with Rab Doisa, and they hold that isha sheish levest, even a woman who has a vested kavua, metamim eis leis. Says the Gemara, that could be. But the wording of the Braisa is difficult. What the Braisa should have said is V'loi shepichsa v'esira. Not only if the intervals between the Rias aren't exact, is the halacha that she's Tomei retroactive. Ela afilu kivna, that she has a vesed kavua. We're passing like the Rabbanon, and she'll be Tomei retroactively. Says the Gemara, Tani, indeed, change the wording of the Braisa, and the Braisa should learn Lo Shepichsa V'Asira, not she has, not only if it's not exact, Ela Filu Kivna, even if it is exact, we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon hold that even a woman who is a vested kavua is Tomei retroactively. V'Ba Yisema, another way to understand the Braisa is as follows. Hachkama, V'Lo Shekivna, in a case where there are exact intervals, so she's a woman with a vested kavua, and a woman with a vested kavua, is not Tamei retroactive, it's Dayashata. Only if it's Pichsav Asir, it's not exact, and the period came three times, even though she's a Zakena, she'll be Tamei retroactively. Ava Kivna, if it's exact, then she's a woman that covers a vest, that has a vested Kavua, and once she has a vested Kavua, Daloch is Dayashata. And according to this, the Braisa will be actually following the opinion of Reb Doisa. And the Braisa specifically, deliberately, speaking about a woman who doesn't have exact intervals. Because if she had exact intervals, she'd be a woman with a vested kavua, and a woman with a vested kavua is always Dayashata, and she would not be Tomei retroactive.